We've got a mock draft to discuss. That's the focus of today's TDN Daily. And welcome in to the Tuesday edition of the TDN Daily podcast. Chris Schubert back with you here once again on the show, and you can feel it. You can feel the momentum building. You can feel us getting back into the swing of it being full football season. We've got prospect breakdowns that we did yesterday on the show for Caleb Williams. We've got a new mock draft from the Draft Network to discuss here on the show today. We are moving closer and closer to the start of football season. It is all coming together for us here on the show. Appreciate you making this show a part of your day. Shout out to those of you watching on the live YouTube side of things as well. We've got a mock draft to discuss from our good friend over at the Draft Network, Damian Parson. Dropped a mock draft yesterday. I did a very good job of avoiding this at all costs, not seeing any of the picks ahead of time, so that this was a natural, raw reaction to this mock draft. The featured image is Caleb Williams, so my assumption is he's going to be the number one overall pick, and we can discuss that here in a second. Again, we talked about him yesterday. If you want to hear a full prospect breakdown from me on Caleb Williams ahead of the 2023 college campaign, we did that yesterday on the show. So we are getting into the meat and potatoes of some quarterback breakdowns here on the podcast. We've got another one coming tomorrow in the form of Drake May. So we are really getting into the swing of scouting, of prospects, of mock drafts, of football season starting. We are getting close. Jamie's making a WWE joke in the chat. Yes, that's how I feel right now as we continue to get this thing rolling towards the start of the season. But let's waste little time. Let's get into this mock draft. And the title of this mock is New Crop of QBs Dominate the Top 10. So it feels as if we're going to have more quarterbacks than just Caleb Williams and Drake May in the top 10. That's at least my big takeaway here as we start. So let's get into it here. And I would like to read the reminder here that was put in a story that I believe by Jamie or DP, but I know Jamie makes sure that it's in there, at least at this stage. The draft order for this mock draft is determined by the Super Bowl odds for 2023. So do not get angry at me. Don't get angry at Jamie. Don't get angry at DP. Get angry at your team for not being good and the odds for being as low as they are, okay? Do not get upset with any of us, okay? That is why the order is the way that it is, because of the Super Bowl odds ahead of the season. I think like midway through the season, like week 8 or 9, we switched to records. But right now it's Super Bowl odds. And no surprise, with the number one overall pick, it is the Arizona Cardinals. And to no one's surprise, the selection right now is Caleb Williams. And look, I don't want us to spend all day here. Bailey said it in the pre-show. He said, Chris, I still don't understand your objection to the Cardinals taking a new rookie quarterback, but we have 8 months left for you to persuade me of that. I will attempt to very quickly give my overview of this situation. I very much understand why Monty Austin-Fort, as a new general manager who didn't draft Kyler Murray and who didn't give the contract to Kyler Murray, would be entertained and intrigued and interested in the idea of resetting the money at that position and starting over with a prospect like Caleb Williams. Now, right now, he's our QB1 because we've only evaluated one QB here on the show. We'll see where the process plays out to see if he stays QB1 after tomorrow when we look at Drake May. But I can understand it from Monty Austin-Fort's perspective specifically. He didn't draft Kyler. He didn't pay Kyler the contract. But you have to wonder if Monty Austin-Fort, when he took the job to be the Arizona Cardinals GM, he didn't know he was going to have two first-round picks in 2024. Didn't know that he was going to be able to swing that trade. He doesn't know what Kyler Murray is going to look like when he comes back from the ACL injury. So did Monty Austin-Fort take the job full well knowing that he was just going to move on from Kyler Murray? That feels a little bit too much of an extreme for me. But I can understand it from Monty Austin-Fort's perspective. The issue for me, the hang-up, is the contract. You have a player coming off of a knee injury, major knee injury, who's got a long-term deal. Cutting him, trading him, we've discussed it on this show at length numerous times. I've brought it up. What the contract looks like if they cut him pre-June 1 or cut him post-June 1 or trade him pre-June 1 or trade him post-June 1, all the different scenarios. There are a lot of dollars associated with those scenarios, which there's dead cap that is associated with Kyler Murray for 2023 specifically, but then in some instances, based on what they do, that cap, dead cap, bleeds in to 2024. And the idea is a trade is the best scenario for the Arizona Cardinals. I believe from my financial perspective, the best scenario for them would be a pre-June 1 trade. Now, the problem with a pre-June 1 trade, at least in my mind, and again, we got 32 picks to go through, so we're not going to spend all day on this, but the issue in my mind with a pre-June 1 trade is Kyler Murray's going to come back from this ACL injury, and he's going to play more than likely in 2023. If he plays well, is Monty Osifor going to be the GM that trades a guy who comes off of the knee injury, and if he looks like the Kyler Murray of old, you're not going to want to build around that guy. You're going to want to trade him and move on for Caleb Williams. Again, I don't view Caleb Williams right now as a generational prospect. I don't. He's QB1 for us right now, but I don't think he gets that label, at least not at this stage. So are you going to move on from Kyler Murray if he plays well? If he plays poorly, if he comes back and he struggles, what team's going to take on that contract? What team's going to take on the risk associated with that? If he doesn't play at all this season, sits it out, fully rehabs, what team's going to want to take that risk? It is a real catch-22 for the Arizona Cardinals. And again, when you draft a rookie quarterback, the idea of hitting this reset button would be Kyler Murray wasn't Monty's guy. And also, the idea of resetting the money and giving yourself a new window to try to win with him. Well, guess what? If you have dead cap for two seasons, for 2023 and 2024, then 2024 and 2025, then for two of the first 4 years, 5 years with a fifth-year option of Caleb Williams' rookie contract, you're paying a guy that's not going to be there, and you're not going to have those dollars allocated to be able to use to build around Caleb Williams. That's my hang-up with making the move. It wouldn't be because I think Kyler Murray is that much more talented than Caleb Williams. It's a math equation for me. It's a math issue for me. But I understand that this is going to be a trendy pick. I understand that I have carved out this island for myself where I'm against this, and I don't think they should necessarily do this right now. Let's see how Kyler plays in 2023. Can we wait until the end of the 2024 offseason before we really get into the meat and potatoes of this? I know that's not exactly how it works, but for me, I would kind of put the pause on this. Bailey says, you take your lumps and trade them next year if you get the number one pick. Cap will be clean when you can attack year three of that rookie contract. There will always be teams with no obvious avenue to a good QB. Teams like the Vikings make sense. If one of those young QBs doesn't pan out, those teams can make sense. I get it. I understand, but it takes two to tango. And there are a lot of question marks about Kyler Murray that I think could complicate things. Just because the Cardinals maybe wake up and say, we want to trade him and we're okay with moving on from him and we're okay with maybe not getting a massive return back, there's still the financial implications and they're still needing another dance partner. So we'll see ultimately how it plays out. So we've got Tampa in the number two spot. But it's because they're making a trade. Look at our guy DP. First mock draft in a little bit here. Ending July, the start of training camp. He says, you know what? Let's spice things up. Let's get a trade. We've got Tampa moving up. Probably not very far from where they probably would be. But this is the other pick. This is the Arizona-Houston pick, and they take Drake May. Look, we've got the jury still out on Drake May because we've not done the scouting breakdown yet. But if there are two quarterbacks that we talk about in this draft class right now, it is Caleb Williams and Drake May. So it is not a surprise to me to see them go 1-2. This is very chalky. And I kind of agree with it at this point because we view these two guys so highly at this stage. We'll see how we feel on this show about Drake May on tomorrow's podcast, but not a whole lot to say about Drake May. I love the fit there in Tampa because they're going to need a quarterback. They need a long-term answer there. And them trading up makes a ton of sense. So we got it. Number three, the Indianapolis Colts selecting Olu Fashanu, the offensive tackle, from Penn State. And look, you got the quarterback last year. We heaped a ton of praise on this Colts draft class with what they did. With Tommy Adebore, with Josh Downs, with Julius Brents, with Anthony Richardson. I mean, this was a draft class that got a ton of praise heaped on it. And now reworking some of this offensive line, where's my guy Heldy at when I need him? This offensive line is an area that needs some work. Olu Fashanu viewed as one of the better offensive linemen, if not the best offensive lineman in this class right now. So I like this. I get this. This makes a ton of sense. Protect Anthony Richardson at all costs, especially if you go into the offseason. Anthony Richardson looks good. You get another healthy year from Jonathan Taylor. Josh Downs continues to develop, has a great rookie season. Michael Pittman continues to emerge. Like, you've got now a nice nucleus there on offense. Julius Brents might be your number one corner there on defense. Shore up that offensive line, protect your ability to run the ball with Jonathan Taylor, and protect your investment from quarterback a year ago in Anthony Richardson. So I like this pick a lot. The Cardinals, they make a swap with Tampa, go from 2-4. We just talked about that with Drake May, and they take Marvin Harrison Jr. Well, if you're going to draw up a scenario for the Arizona Cardinals in which you want them to draft Caleb Williams, I don't know if you can dream up a better scenario than the way this plays out. You get to take your guy at number one. Again, this is if you want the Cardinals to take Caleb Williams. You get your guy at number one. You then acquire even more assets for down the road because you allowed Tampa to move up. You got something in addition to swapping ones. You got something. You got more draft capital. And then you still got the player you probably would have taken it to anyway if you stayed and didn't make the trade in Marvin Harrison Jr. Look, this team needs a number one wide receiver. They move on from DeAndre Hopkins. We like Hollywood Brown, but I don't know if he's a true number one at this stage of his career. Marvin Harrison Jr. is the top wide receiver prospect in this draft class, so this is huge. You've got Caleb Williams. You've now got Marvin Harrison. You've got that quarterback to wide receiver connection to start off a new era there in Arizona. And if you wanted the Arizona Cardinals to draft a quarterback, you would be heaping tons of praise on Monty Austin-Ford. For two straight seasons, for two straight drafts, he would have done fantastic work on draft night or right before draft night to be able to swing these deals and to be able to end up with Caleb Williams, Marvin Harrison Jr., and additional draft capital from both trading Kyler Murray and making this swap at some point with Tampa to move from 4-2. So kudos to Monty Austin-Ford in this mock draft because he does very well for himself and, again, continues to show what we saw in this year's class in 2023 with what he was able to do on draft night with the Houston Texans. The Tennessee Titans picking number 5, and they take Jared Verse Edge from Florida State. And I'm reading the blurb here from DP. He talks about the Titans drafting a QB 3 years in a row. I would agree with the idea that drafting a quarterback 3 years in a row would feel a little foolish. Them being in the top five probably means it didn't go all that great. But we think here on this show, we just did our positional rankings a few short weeks ago. We did not believe this Tennessee Titans group was very good across the board outside of maybe a couple of positions. Running back because of Derrick Henry. We thought their safety group was pretty good. They've got a lot of work. This could be an offensive lineman. I just peeked the pick here at number 6. You can't see it, but I can see it on my screen. This could be an offensive lineman. This could be Joe Alt, right? That wouldn't be a terrible pick here. But also pass rush. You're going to play Trevor Lawrence twice a year. You got Anthony Richardson. The Texans just got C.J. Stroud. All these teams feel like they've got their quarterbacks. You might feel the need. We got to get after these guys. We got to disrupt them to give ourselves a chance with the way that we would want to play. He is one of the better pass rushers in this class. So this is the first pick where I think there's two competing theories here of what you could potentially do. We really don't like this Tennessee Titans offensive line. It probably needs a little bit of a do-over. But Jared Verse is a good player, so we're not going to complain too much about this pick for Tennessee at number 5. Number 6, Texas quarterback Quinn Ewers going to the Los Angeles Rams. So Matt Stafford, goodbye. Sean McVay going to stick around and work with Quinn Ewers is the question mark. Look, we're going to say this a lot when we discuss any of the quarterbacks that find ourselves here in the top 10. Because we've only watched Caleb Williams. Jury's still out on Quinn Ewers. I feel, at least at this stage, this is a little rich for Quinn Ewers at number 6 to be a top 7 pick, personally. We'll do the deep dive. We'll see how we feel. But to me, this feels like we're full bore. Hype train has left the station. We're out of control. We can't stop it. Like, that's how I feel that we're at right now. I think Quinn Ewers is a good player. I can't wait to do the deep dive to see where he stacks in this class. But for me right now, this feels like it's a little too rich. I understand it from the Rams' perspective because Stafford is getting older. We don't know how healthy he is. How many years does he have left? Quinn Ewers might be the type that Sean McVay wants to stick around and work with. But I don't know. I'm not sold. Taylor B says, this isn't the worst QB selection of the draft. Taylor B, you're scaring me. Because I don't like this pick very much. No offense to my guy, DP. I appreciate the work that he put in here, giving us some content here on the show, but I'm kind of out on this. Quinn Ewers is not a top 60 player in the class. I can't get there, Sam. I don't have 60 players to rank yet, but I'll take you at your word for it. Number 7. Oh, the Las Vegas Raiders are selecting Joel Milton III, QB out of Tennessee. All right. We need a quarterback of the future in Vegas. Jimmy G, I know he passed his physical, and I know he's going to play, but really, this always set up, when he signed the contract, it was always set up for him to be a bridge guy, and for the Raiders to then take a QB in this draft class, because at the end of this upcoming season, so you draft Joe Milton here, Jimmy G can play, Joe Milton can kind of take over midseason, and then at the end of the year, you can move on from Jimmy G, and it doesn't cost you a whole lot. Joe Milton? Listen, I can't wait to do the deep dive on Joe. He's one of the names that I have circled as a guy that I'm really excited to do a deep dive on. But we've got to look at this from where this sits right now on July 25th, 2023. And I don't know if I can get there with either of these guys, Quinn Ewers or Joe Milton. You guys know how I feel about Cam Ward. We'll do a deep dive on him as well. We've got Bo Nix. We've got Michael Penix. We've got a lot of other guys here in the mix. Joe Milton, Quinn Ewers. We'll see. We'll see. I mean, Joe Milton's in a situation where he can succeed, but he's going to have the same issue that Hendon Hooker had with the system that he's in, being an older prospect. Like, he's going to have a similar problem. Bailey says the Raiders trade for Kyler because they can't do this. I would be against this at this stage, Joe Milton. The Washington Commanders at number 8, Brock Bowers, tight end from Georgia. Wow. I kind of like this a lot. I mean, we could probably use some help in other areas, but Brock Bowers is going to be a unicorn at the position and going to be a difference maker and is going to be a top prospect in this class. And I think about, I mean, this really goes to what you think of Sam Howell and what you think his rookie season is going to look like, right? Because if Sam Howell isn't good, and spoiler alert, gather around, put yourself closer to the microphone here, folks. I don't know if Sam Howell's going to be that good. They're going to be in the quarterback market. They're going to be looking around. Now, maybe it's free agency. Maybe there's a reunion with Kirk Cousins in the works, potentially. Maybe he returns to Washington with a new coach, new ownership, and he can bring things back. Maybe they're a team that trades for Kyler Murray, since that's kind of the theme of the show today. And there's a lot of different things that could play into hands for Washington. So if they go into draft night with a solidified answer at quarterback, Sam Howell or the field, then you can entertain something like this. But I don't know, man. I'm not so sold that we are in a position to be taking Brock Bowers. Again, good player would complement this offense, and you don't think that Eric Bieniemy, who is going to be the offensive coordinator, potentially could be the head coach if things don't go this way with Ron Rivera and they make a change and they just promote Eric Bieniemy to head coach. Saw what he was able to do with Travis Kelce. Like, Flipper says, who will be the quarterback for Washington? Maybe they trade for Kyler, and then says Kyler Murray greater than rookie tight end. Jamie Eisner said they should trade for Patrick Mahomes and reunite him with Eric Bieniemy. That's a great idea, Jamie. We'll see. Bailey says Eric Bieniemy first pick going to be a stud tight end. I mean, we saw what he was able to do with Travis Kelce. Sam says it would be like the Falcons taking Kyle Pitts. I mean, Sam, I agree if we get to draft night and we have, as a group, uncertainty about the quarterback position. If they trade for Kyler, they maybe don't have this pick. But let's say they have like Kirk Cousins or Kyler or somebody at quarterback, right? I can get more on board with this. But yes, I agree with your overall thought. Taylor B says, I also wonder what the new owner's attitude to the process will be. That's the other thing too. Is he going to want to make a splash? Is the new ownership group there in Washington going to want to make a splash? Are they going to want to take a quarterback? How are they going to play it? Or are they going to trust their guys and gals to make the best decision for the future of their franchise? I don't know. I don't hate the player. I don't even necessarily hate the fit when I consider Eric Bieniemy. I've just got a lot of questions about what this team's going to look like that I would just pause on this. The Bears. Well, Emeka Egbuka is not a bad pick here for the Chicago Bears. We need some wide receivers. Bailey, are you here, my friend? You still here? I have a question for you. I have a very important question for my friend Bailey, who is the resident Bears expert here on the show. I like this pick. Let me just make it very clear. I like the pick. I think he would fit in the offense. Him being paired with DJ Moore would be fantastic. Bailey, you are here. I've got a question for you. If the Chicago Bears, with their pick, because they pick here again with Carolina's pick, if the Bears with their pick are picking inside the top 10, is Justin Fields their quarterback in 2024? I'm not trolling you. I'm asking a very legitimate question. I want your thoughts on this. If the Chicago Bears are picking inside the top 10 for the 2024 draft with their own pick, is Justin Fields their quarterback in 2024? Because part of me feels like the answer to that question might be no. Do the Bears package picks to move up for Marvin Harrison Jr. if they stick with Fields? They might. I know I'm considered a Justin Fields hater on this show, right? That's kind of, unfortunately, a brand I've carved out for myself for kind of pumping the brakes on the hype train that I believe has left the station this offseason. But I just don't know if they can be in the top 10 again and stick with Justin Fields because the GM and coach aren't the regime that picked him. Bailey says that might be 6 or 7 wins, depends. Did we lose because of having the worst defense in the league again? Right. Bailey, I understand your question. The context there absolutely matters. Like last year, there was a 5-week stretch. We scored the most points in the leagues and went 0-5. Right. I think the context matters. I don't know. I feel like if they're picking in the top 10 again, they'll want to reset. I don't think this is a bad pick, and I think it would absolutely help Justin Fields if you wanted to surround him with DJ Moore, heck, Buka, and just feast, right? Hopefully Darnell Wright has a great rookie season and is the anchor and the linchpin of your offensive line. So I've seen two people now mention this. Jamie mentioned it, and now Taylor mentioned it. Was Justin Fields in the top 100 for the NFL? Did he make the top 100? Was he a top? You guys are making a joke that he was a top 90 player. Because then we're not. I had thoughts about discussing the list. Taylor B asked me in the TDM Premium Discord yesterday if I was going to discuss the list. I will not be discussing the list if that's the case. I will not. We don't know, but we think so. I will not be discussing the list then. Bailey says has to show passing improvement, has to be able to win late in games when forced to pass. Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. The Bears with their other pick. From the Carolina Panthers. They take Chop Robinson, edge from Penn State. Round of applause. Round of applause for the Chicago Bears addressing the other parts of the defensive line and not just the interior of the defensive line. There are other positions, Mr. Eberflus, that you're going to want to orchestrate, put together on your defensive line. So you're going to want to have edge players in the mix. I know you spent 47 draft picks in the 2023 draft class on the interior. Like that we're spending it on an outside player, an edge player here in Chop Robinson. I don't know a whole lot about Chop, but I will tell you, I like the positional fit because they need edge players. So far, I like this for Chicago. They address some needs here. The New England Patriots at number 11. Amaris Mims, OT, offensive tackle out of Georgia. Eugene, we did not talk about the Saquon deal. We'll do that in the post show. Bailey says Ryan Poles is trolling us, said he was definitely going to sign an edge before training camp and hasn't happened. Well, you got Chop Robinson just coming your way in, you know, a couple of months, Bailey. Just wait. Look, don't know a lot about Mims. I'll be honest. But the Patriots, their offensive line, I think we had it rated pretty low in our positional rankings. I like the idea of continuing to build around Mac Jones because I think that's what they're going to ultimately do, and protecting him up front is a pretty big piece of that. But we are 22 minutes into the show. We've only gone through 11 picks. We got to keep this moving. Atlanta, Jack Sawyer, edge from Ohio State. Man, Atlanta's a really interesting team. Atlanta's a really, really interesting team because they're kind of going for it. I think they have a team good enough to compete in that division. But if they don't, are they making a change of head coach? What does then that do for what they want to do with the draft pick? Like, this pick to me feels very consistent with the idea of Arthur Smith still being the coach. If Arthur Smith is no longer the Falcons coach, I wonder if there's a different position that gets selected here at number 12 for the Atlanta Falcons. The Pittsburgh Steelers at number 13, Jeremiah Trotter Jr., linebacker from Clemson. I will cede all of my time here on this pick to our resident Steelers guy, Sam Teets, and to tell me what he thinks about Jeremiah Trotter Jr., linebacker from Clemson, being the selection for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then in back-to-back years, the Steelers selecting a junior, first Joey Porter Jr. and now Jeremiah Trotter Jr. So I will cede the rest of my time on the pick here for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And he says, uniting Clemson and the Steelers, let's go. We got the seal of approval. Eagles fans would be mad. I'm sure they would. Clemson to Steelers, same stream. Yes, 100%. Denver Broncos, Cedric Van Prang Granger, interior offensive lineman from Georgia. I mean, if they're picking 14th, they probably had an okay season. This is a huge evaluation year for them. What Sean Payton's going to be able to do in year one, they're stuck at the quarterback position, right? They're going to have Russell Wilson for the foreseeable future there. Helping that offensive line, it was a priority for them in free agency for sure, and I think they're going to continue to do it next offseason because I feel like they've got a lot of other stuff lined up pretty well for them. And having a first-round pick is going to help them this year, but they've got what we think is a very talented running back in Javonte Williams. We love their wide receiver room, at least I do. Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, Tim Patrick, like that's nice. They've got Greg Dulcich at tight end. Like, they've got a lot of the offensive infrastructure, so protecting up front is important, and then the defense. Bailey says, I have Van Pran with a day three grade. Sam Teat says, Van Pran has sub 32-inch arms. No way, no how. So the chat, not a fan of this pick. I like the idea of the pick going with an offensive lineman because it feels like the area on offense that they need to address. The Giants at 15, they just signed Saquon Barkley to a one-year deal. Maybe we'll talk about that here, not in the post show. We'll talk about it here. I'm surprised that this was the resolution to this. Not that I thought any of the other potential options were great. I didn't think sitting out was going to accomplish anything. I didn't think sitting out one game was a real, like, attractive option and really would change anything. I don't know what this contract changes, right? It's a one-year deal. It's, like, worth, like, $11 million or something. There's no provision in there where they can't tag him next season. So Saquon gets a little bit more money, but the Giants continue to do the year-to-year commitment thing that they've clearly were wanting to do. They have the ability to just tag him again next offseason. This feels like a big win for the Giants, more so than it does Saquon, because for the Giants, they needed Saquon to be able to be on the field for all 17 games in 2023. They could not afford him to be missed. But now, after year two of Brian Daboll, after year two of Joe Shane, we've just given a new contract to Daniel Jones last offseason. We now go into this offseason, and we've got the 15th pick, according to the Super Bowl odds. So what are we going to do here? We had a pretty good draft last year. We got Deontay Banks. We got John Michael Schmitz. We got some pretty good players that we added to this Giants team. What player are we going to add to this group this year with the 15th overall pick? Oh, I like this pick a lot. Johnny Wilson, wide receiver out of Florida State. We need a big number one wide receiver, and getting a 6'7", 230-pound guy, that'll do it. That's a good pick. This is a really nice pick by Joe Shane and the New York Giants. They've got a lot of guys. But Paris Campbell, I think, is on a one-year deal. He's going to be a free agent. They've got a lot of guys that do a lot of similar stuff in this offense. Lots of slot guys. They just signed Cole Beasley the other day. This is great. Give me a big-bodied guy, 6'7", 230. This is nice. I like this a lot. Good pick that you're here for the New York Giants. The Green Bay Packers, after the first year of Jordan Love as their starting quarterback in the post-Aaron Rodgers era, this is their selection. Just want to make it clear. This is their selection. Oh, they're getting Joe Alt, offensive tackle from Notre Dame. Holy smokes. You want to talk about giving your quarterback some protection. You get the guy that might be OT1 in this class. Certainly in the conversation for OT2. Joe Alt battling it out with those other guys that we mentioned. Olufushanu. We mentioned Mims earlier. Like, there's a lot of guys. Joe Alt to the Green Bay Packers. This is a good pick. This is a nice pick. We like this quite a bit here. The Green Bay Packers. Houston at 17. Wow. I love this pick. Kool-Aid McKinstry, cornerback out of Alabama. Listen, they traded their one pick to Arizona to be able to get their quarterback last year, but now they're able to get a figure for their defense. And this is a great value, as Bailey just mentioned in the chat, for Kool-Aid McKinstry. But I think this is great for this defense. I mean, we know what D'Amico Ryans is going to want to do, what he wants his defense to look like. They've got Derek Stingley Jr., who hopefully can have a bounce back year this year in 2023. They've got Jalen Petrie, who I thought had a really good rookie campaign. You're now able to add to those guys after their second season in the league. You had a guy like Kool-Aid McKinstry, who can be one of those corners. Your two corners being Derek Stingley Jr. and Kool-Aid McKinstry, that's a really, really nice pairing. If Derek Stingley's able to develop here in 2023, that's really nice. And in a division where you're going to be going up against some good quarterbacks, it's nice to have some shutdown corners that can be able to help you when you play Trevor Lawrence twice a year, when you play Anthony Richardson twice a year. Right? Those are some nice options to have. So I like this quite a bit for the Houston Texans. Love this pick. Love the value. Kudos all around to the Houston Texans. Miami Dolphins at 18, J.C. Latham, offensive tackle from Alabama. It's mentioned here in the blurb as I'm reading it as we go. Protecting Tua is the name of the game. They've got a very good offensive infrastructure everywhere else on the field. There are a lot of pieces on their defense that this show likes in particular. This was a defense that rated very, very graded very highly when we did our positional rankings. Protect Tua at all costs. That's the guy. Invest all your draft capital into keeping Tua healthy, because if you keep Tua healthy in this system, in this offense, you are going to have a chance. So this pick in the first round jives with that. The New Orleans Saints, this will be after year one of Derek Carr. They're picking 19th, and they're going to take Donovan Jackson, interior offensive lineman for Ohio State. So, again, name of the game was what you're seeing here is a lot of teams going with offensive line help to help protect their quarterbacks. And it feels as if, and I'm sure Bailey, who's watched more tape than me, Sam, who I know has watched more tape than me, will tell me, this feels like this is a very offensive line heavy draft, at least in the early goings of how we feel about this. We talked about some of the quarterbacks early. We talked about some of the defensive players that we like. Jared Verse, Kool-Aid McKinstry has come up, but Olufoshinu, Joe Alt, we're talking a lot about the offensive linemen here in the early going, and this is another selection here for that at that group for the New Orleans Saints. Number 20, the Minnesota Vikings. I'm not going to be able to pronounce his name. It's just not going to happen. I don't even want to give it a shot because I don't want to insult JT by mispronouncing his last name. But the edge from Ohio State going to Minnesota, no Za'Darius Smith. They need somebody to go alongside Danielle Hunter, as DP mentions here in his blurb. Sure, I like it. They might be entering a quarterback era where they're going to need an answer at quarterback. So that would be kind of the hangup that I would have here. But again, value, like who's available here at 20 that we're going to be selecting. So we like the pick. Seattle at 21, Christian Mahogany, interior offensive lineman from Boston College. Just to add another guy to the list here at the offensive line group. Sam says the top 100 group of O-line is awesome and deep, but there aren't many studs. Bailey says there are a lot of guys in the top 64 in the offensive line. Fashanu for me is the only blue chip guy, but some nice depth. Well, that's what you're seeing, I think, so far, at least in DP's mock, is that depth shining through as the Seahawks continue to build around their offensive line. The Los Angeles Chargers at 22 take an interior defensive lineman, Tyleek Williams, and this has been the problem. This is the one area on this team that I think is a major red flag and a major hole. They have not been able to stop the run effectively over the last couple of years, and we saw a team do this in this same tier of pick, right? I think they picked 24th in this class last year, but Dallas had a need. Plugging the run game, plugging up the middle, and they went out and took Mozzie Smith. It was the player that we needed to get. We went out and got him. And I think what you're seeing here is the Chargers kind of addressing the same type of need, taking a player at that spot. The Jags at 23, Jason Marshall Jr., corner from Florida. I think DP mentions it here. As offensively, the Jags are in a nice place. Defensively, there's still room for improvement. They've had a lot of change in their corner room over the last couple of years. And so I think getting a young player that could be a linchpin for their defense would kind of be nice, right? And so I'm not going to discuss the player, Jason Marshall Jr. I don't know a ton about him, but from a positional perspective, that's kind of what I want to focus on. I kind of like this, right? It's one of the areas on defense that you kind of want to get solidified talent at. And so for me, addressing that with a first round pick does make some sense. The Baltimore Ravens at 24, Denzel Burke, corner from Ohio State. We've gone on a corner run here. We'll just do this. We got the Lions at 25 taking Kalen King, corner out of Penn State. We've got three corners in a row. So Jason Marshall Jr., Denzel Burke, and Kalen King, three corners in a row. The Jags, Ravens, and Lions all going after corners here. And you look at the Detroit Lions as a team that they have also moved their corner room around, right? They move on from Jeff Okuda. They bring in Mike Hughes. As you can see, a little bit of a run on corner here, 23 through 25. 26, the New York Jets. Don't get mad at me, okay? The pick hasn't conveyed yet. Rodgers hasn't played in enough games. More than likely is going to be the Green Bay Packers selection, but at least for a moment, allow me to discuss Patrick Paul, offensive tackle from Houston, as a pick for the New York Jets. Look, they've got problems all over the place on this offensive line. Dwayne Brown's 100 years old. Mekhi Becton, at this stage where we sit right now on July 25th, is an unknown. The guys behind those two gentlemen are Carter Warren, who is a rookie, and Max Mitchell, who's kind of an undersized swing tackle. They need long-term answers at the position. Hopefully, Mekhi Becton can become one of those long-term answers, so then they only have one hole. But the idea that the New York Jets would go after an offensive lineman, a tackle in the first round, is not surprising. We know they were interested in Broderick Jones in this draft class until the Steelers traded up in front of them. So it's not a surprise that this is where they would go. The Jets will not be making this selection. So they will not be making this selection in 2024. The Cowboys at 27 take Malik Nabers, wide receiver from LSU. Oh man, I really like the idea of adding another wide receiver to this offense and helping out Dak Prescott with CeeDee Lamb. I like this a lot. This is nice, and it's a good player too. We'll give this one a seal of approval here at 27. 28, the Cincinnati Bengals, Kalen Bullock, safety from USC. This is interesting, right? Because we've talked a lot about Cincinnati. They've done some interesting things over the last couple of years with how they've addressed drafting in their secondary. They've taken very versatile players. Jesse Bates gone. He goes to Atlanta. They've got Dax Hill, who can move around. They just drafted they drafted DJ Turner, right, in this last draft class, another guy who's versatile. So versatility has been the name of the game, and so they've kind of been moving deck chairs around here in their secondary, and so I think adding another player in there to help re-solidify it after some movement the last couple of seasons isn't necessarily a bad idea. Again, they're picking 28th in this class based on Super Bowl odds, but look, they're going to solve their wide receiver thing at the end of this offseason where they're going to pay probably two of the guys. They've got the quarterback. They've reworked the deal with Joe Mixon. They probably could use an offensive lineman, but we've had a massive run on offensive linemen. I don't know if the value is going to be there at this stage. Again, I don't know the class all that well, but just think of all the names that have already come off the board. So the idea of adding to this defense and helping an area that you've been kind of moving around the last couple of years, I don't necessarily hate it. At 29, the San Francisco 49ers are taking Jordan Morgan, offensive tackle from Arizona. So everything I just said about, you know, not taking an offensive tackle, the Bengals passed on one, and then he goes 29 to San Francisco. Jordan Morgan, offensive line prospect. DP says can play on the right side of the offensive line if needed. And listen, they got to protect their quarterback at all costs, right? That's the big thing. The Bills at 30, Tommy Eichenberg, linebacker from Ohio State. And DP mentions this being a Tremaine Edmonds replacement there at 30, linebacker in the first round. I mean, we'll see. We'll see how that ultimately plays out. We saw what happened with Jack Campbell going pretty early in last year's draft class, not as early, you know, earlier than 30, but linebacker in the first round is always a bit of a coin flip. 31, Xavier Worthy, wide receiver from Texas, to be the wide receiver 3 there in Philadelphia. Okay. All right. That would be, I don't know, that's another weapon to this offense that's already got A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith and Dallas Goedert and Jalen Hurts. So just another addition would be nice. And then the Kansas City Chiefs at 32. Mason Smith, interior defensive lineman from LSU, a player that DP says that he'd pair alongside Chris Jones along that interior defensive line. So there you have it, the first mock draft in a while that we've done here on the show. Some quarterbacks to discuss, some interesting picks. This was a lot of fun, and I thought it kept with the theme here of what we've been doing here on the show this week with some prospect breakdowns. We've got another prospect breakdown to do tomorrow on the show, Drake May, the next guy up for us to discuss. So that'll be the focus of tomorrow's show. Appreciate all of you making this show a part of your day. Please rate, review, subscribe to the podcast, share the show. We greatly do appreciate it. If you want to join us on the live YouTube side of things, Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time is when you can join us. You get to then be a part of the post show. And what we've been doing lately in the post show is a little bit of an immaculate grid contest. So I do the immaculate grid with the live YouTube chat, and then we see if I can beat the number of players that we get on the baseball side of things all by myself. So it'll be a lot of fun there. We talk about some of the other stories that are trending in the football world there as part of the pre-show. So you can join us over there as well. And if you can't join us live, but you still want to see the pre-show, you still want to see the live video version of the show, you can do so. Just go to the Draft Network YouTube channel, click on that live tab. All of those VODs are sitting there for you to go back and look at. And so we greatly do appreciate you clicking on those as well. So I appreciate everybody making this show a part of their day. Hope you all have a fantastic rest of your Tuesday. We'll talk with you all tomorrow.